Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Thanks for listening each week. As a reminder to you, if you haven't been to iTunes to leave a rating and review, we would love for you to do that. It helps other people find the Student Ministry Podcast like you found it. So
Five stars.
We like the 5-star rating. So head over there and leave that rating and review. We would appreciate that greatly. Good episode ahead today. With me, as always, John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We also have, in our different studio today, we have some guests from Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. We have Eric Heisted, Terry Kurtz. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Great. We're glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited to have y'all here. And we just finished up recording some video content for the Student Pastor Network. So if you haven't joined the Student Pastor Network yet, head over to studentpastornetwork.com. Check it out. The premier training and development tool for student pastors. So head over there and check that out. Man, we had some awesome discussions with Eric and Terry just a little bit ago. And so we wanted to jump on the podcast and focus in on one specific thing that kind of touches all areas of student ministry. But Eric, we were talking about longevity in ministry. Eric, tell us how long you've been involved, connected to student ministry.
127 years.
That's what it was. It was 127 years.
You could unplug his microphone. Yeah, so, you know, I get invited to speak on one topic only, and that is longevity in ministry, which basically just means I've been around a long time.
Yeah.
So.
And so Eric is the campus pastor for the South Campus of Second Houston and then leads the whole student ministry team. And Terry is the student pastor of the Woodway campus and leads the student ministry team there. Both have been at Second Houston for a long time. I think you mentioned 9 years, Terry. Is that right
for you? Yep.
And then
18 years
just at Second. And then the other 100 and some.
Yeah. 21. Let's get real here.
21 other years in student ministry.
38 years of ministry.
Whatever. Yeah, that's awesome. So these guys have a wealth of knowledge on student ministry and leading in that environment. But one of the statements that you said, Eric, that really stood out to me, and it's been stuck in my head since we did that first video, was making the difference between making an impact versus making an impression. And so the context of that statement was inside of our discussion on longevity in ministry. And so I recognize, podcast listeners, that I'm kind of bringing you into something that we talked about earlier. So we're going to set the context for you, and then I want to really dive into that statement because it's such a powerful statement. Think about it like just for a minute. So take a moment to evaluate your own ministry right now as you listen. Have you made an impression where you are, or have you made an impact? And so let's connect that back to the original context. Let's talk about longevity in ministry and how longevity in ministry really enables you to make an impact instead of an impression.
Thanks, Ben. You know, staying in ministry, look, some folks are not going to be long term in ministry, and there's no shame in doing a good job for a short amount of time. The Lord may move you to another area of ministry. You may discover that maybe that's not exactly what God has for you. But, you know, those who are called to student ministry or to an area of ministry, you know, I think a part of their desire, their goal ought to be effective as long as they possibly can in the most meaningful and powerful way possible. And, you know, I think what happens is too often guys and ladies who are so gifted and so talented and so creative, they simply bail out before the returns are in. But before they see really the results that God is going to bring. But they bail out, and I realize that there are a lot of good reasons maybe for leaving. You're just worn out. You're burned out. You know, the results are not coming in like you think, and so you think, well, you know, the Lord is moving me away, and I also understand the Lord does move folks, but I also have seen so many people over the years simply just they pull the plug long before I believe God has called them to do that, and lots of reasons for that, but one of the things that you know, that I know will keep people in the ministry for a long period of time because it's happened in my life. I've been at Second for 18 years. I did student ministry for 21 years before that. But here's the deal. When you look at what you're doing and you see that your influence in some small way is making a lasting impact, we use the word eternal, but that's really hard for us to gauge. You know, we use that because it makes us feel good, and it is an eternal impact. But the reality is, you can tell if there's an impact. You know, I can, if I'm making an impression, you have a thought about me, or I've influenced you in some way.
Yeah.
If I've made an impact, your life has been seriously affected.
Mm.
Your life has been changed, diverted, helped in some way. And I shared the illustration before. You know, I went back to a 50th anniversary of the church, that one of the churches I served many years ago. And I was there about 9, 10 years, something like that. And it was an amazing church, amazing leadership, great church. And I love the people there. I mean, it broke my heart when I left that church.
Yeah.
But, you know, it had been a long time since I'd been gone, probably 20-something years since I was there. And when I walked back, I was just so glad to see the people. But when they came up, these were now, the students are now in their 40s, 30s and 40s, and their parents were 60s and 70s. But when I met these students, I'd give them a hug, and their moms and dads would start coming up to me, and they'd start saying, hey, you know, I just want to say thank you for investing in my child. Thank you for investing in my son, my daughter, for helping them to love the Word of God, for helping them to love church. I mean, it really changed their life. I mean, I tell you, I walked away from that weekend going, I know why we do what we do. You make an impact rather than just an influence in some small way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, adding to what Eric said, we talked about this earlier, is that there's a depth that comes with longevity that you can't get any other way.
Yeah.
You know, in ministry, real ministry, I make the statement, ministry is where the mess is. And the mess in people's life is when you can really do, employ, impart true ministry. The mess is divorce, death, any kind of difficulty. And that requires a relationship, trust, that someone knows that you care about them enough to where they can come to you during the mess and allow you to minister to them. And a lot of people, when you don't stay put, don't ever get depth in relationships. And man, you got to have it. Hmm. If you really want to be able to see and experience true ministry beyond a platform, beyond a stage, beyond an event, it happens in the mess of life.
Yeah. And like you said, you don't get there until you've been with those people for an extended period. And it just doesn't happen in it just doesn't happen in 2 years.
Look, and I've heard guys say, and ladies, they're like, you know what, you can make a great impact in a very short amount of time. Look, I'm not going to argue that point. Maybe you can. I'm not that smart. I don't know whether you can or can't. I can tell you this. If you invest your life with some time and you are giving away eternal stuff, there is no question. You are going to see impact. You're going to see life-altering change that takes place in the life of students or adults or leaders. You know, the chance is if you're there for 2 years, you're just starting to make an influence and to make an impression. They've got a glimpse of you. They haven't seen the big picture. They haven't seen the picture of, they haven't watched you walk with your wife and your children. They haven't watched you, you know, when, how do you deal with when you're really frustrated? And they know it. They know you're really frustrated. Do you do like normal people do? Or do you do like somebody who loves the Lord? I mean, they want to see, and that only comes with time. And so, you know, time is, you know, you have to put in the time to get the kind of results that I think God really wants to bring into our ministries.
Yeah, I love the distinction that you make between, and this could be helpful as people evaluate, like, am I making an impact or am I making an impression? The distinction that you made between the two was an impression is a thought that someone develops about you, you know, and like you said, everybody can make an impression. It might be a good one, it might be a bad one, whatever, but it's a thought that's developed about somebody. And an impact actually, like, you can see a course change in someone's life as a result of that.
An impression is when you leave a church and they say, man, he was a great preacher. Man, that guy could flat communicate. Oh man, wasn't she a great organizer? That's a good impression.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with any of that. That's all good. A real impact, I'll never be the same because of the influence that guy had on my life.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me to read.
That's so good.
He taught me to read the Bible. He taught me to memorize scripture. He taught me to get up on Sunday morning to get myself out of bed and go to church regardless if I felt like it. He taught me to love my parents and talk to them nicely. That's an impact.
Yeah.
Well, and you can see that in such a tangible way, too, in student ministry. Even just stepping into a student ministry, the relationships that you'll have with the juniors and seniors in a ministry, you know, that are there with you for a year, 2 years, and move along. They're often going to be acquaintances, you know, down the road. They might call you for a reference, whatever. Some of them don't want anything to do with you. Mm. The students that you walk from sixth grade all the way through 12th grade are the ones that are calling you to preach their wedding. You know, they're calling you for advice just in life. You know, what do I do? My wife and I are walking through, or my husband and I are walking through this. You know, what did you do? You know, it's a lifelong relationship that you develop because of the impact that you've had with those students.
You know, the scary thing is when you make an impression on somebody, it feels good. I mean, when people tell you that you're good at something, I mean, that's addictive. You want people to go, man, that guy can flat bring it. When he preaches, oh man, when he does a Bible study, gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we invest sometimes in lots of things that are very impression driven. But the problem is that the hard work takes, you know, it takes it when you say, I want to do more than just make an impression. I want to see that my influence in their life grow to the place where we see tangible results in their life.
Yeah, you said the word investment, and John Paul alluded to this. When you spend 6 years with a student who came into your ministry as a junior high student, you get to watch them graduate. When you put money in the bank, it's no different. If you pull it out every 2 years, you'll never have the compound interest that you would have if you just leave it where it's at. Same with relationships. If you'll just leave the investment and let it grow, there's so much more return at the end. And it's no different in ministry. There's a compounding effect in your ministry when you're able to stay put, stay the course, and continue to pour into people, because then, you know, maybe it's a student who comes into your ministry as a junior high student. Once they graduate high school, their brother, their sister's coming up. There's such a richness to that. You can't get any other way than longevity.
Yeah, and that credibility is already built with that younger brother or sister and that family.
And that's when that ball starts. Yeah. That's when that growth, when you have that real, you can't almost put your feet, why is my ministry so successful? I've stayed the course, I've stayed put, and it's almost like a ball rolling downhill. It just picks up momentum,
So there's another thought that kind of comes to mind for me, because there are probably some student pastors, student ministry leaders that have been at a place for a little while, but because they are not super intentional about the way they're investing in students and about having some really deep, rich discipleship environments, discipleship moments, there's probably some guys that have been around for a while and are still only making a great impression. But when you think about When I think about the word impact, I mean, that's one thing colliding with another, you know, and I think it's really easy in student ministry to have a bunch of really well-programmed glancing blows.
Yeah. Hmm. Man, that's interesting that you say that, because they tell you in marriage counseling, like, don't say always and never. So I'm going to tread on that ground here. You can't truly have an impact without longevity. But just having longevity doesn't mean you're going to impact. And I think that's what you're saying, is that you still have to have some intentionality and some strategy and direction and vision. And,
you know, we were talking earlier about developing the skill sets you have in ministry. And we used the illustration of the five-tool baseball player.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, running and throwing and catching and hitting for power and hitting for average. That's what a good baseball player does. But a good baseball player, there are guys who just do two of those things well.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. In ministry, the guys and the ladies who, they may be a one or two tool player. They may be really good at, and let's say, relationships. They just love hanging with kids. And they might be really, really good with just being so compassionate. You know, they are the first ones to recognize when something really is, you know, hurting somebody's heart. But they cannot do anything administratively to save their life. But you know what? Here's the deal. People who are two-tool player, who strive to become a five-tool player, those are the people who end up making the impact because they realize that just being at a place long doesn't guarantee that you're going to do anything except being there a long time.
Yeah.
And we all know people who've been at a church way, way, way too long. They've been ineffective for way too long and they need a fresh place. So being at a place and clocking in doesn't mean that you're going to impact.
Right.
It means that maybe, it may mean that you've never increased your skills and you need to find a new place.
Yeah, but to that point, longevity provides opportunity for development.
That's right.
Yes.
Because when you stay the course somewhere, you develop relationships where people are comfortable speaking into your life and they say, Ben, John Paul, you have a blind spot here.
Mm. Yeah.
When you're moving and you're kind of going from place to place, you don't have those relationships that people feel comfortable to do that. Now, that's not always, but oftentimes that's true. And so when you stay put, when there's longevity, it breeds development because people speak into your life. You kind of live through the honeymoon season at that church, that place you're serving, and you're kind of forced to reckon with your blind spots, your shortcomings, the things in your ministry that aren't working. And oftentimes that's where true development comes from, is in those valleys of ministry. Where it's like, God, what are you doing with me? Why nothing I'm doing is working?
Yeah.
And you learn character. You learn the art of student ministry.
So I've got a question for you along those lines. For the student pastor that's looking to build those relationships that can pour into them and that can help them in that development, what questions does a student ministry leader need to be asking of those volunteer leaders around them or just people in the church that have a good view outside looking in? What are the evaluative questions?
Well, I think the questions are important, but they may not be as important as a youth pastor can shield himself or herself away from any questions. They can make it so that I'm a two-tool player. I'm a communicator and I'm a vision caster. And I'm so good at both of those that nobody can get close to me. Nobody can ask me the hard questions. Nobody can point out that I'm only a two-tool player.
Yeah.
They're not going to ask me about my shortcomings in administration or any other area of my ministry because I shield myself. And we all know that there are some incredibly talented people who are short on those other areas, but nobody can get close to them. So there's not, they can't even ask the questions of that youth pastor. If you will allow yourself to be authentic and real, and open your life up to people, that's when you can see impact, but it's also when you can get better at who and what you are.
Yeah.
So that takes a level of vulnerability.
Absolutely.
And being willing to open yourself up to that, to that kind of accountability and that kind of scrutiny is the negative way to say it, but healthy criticism. Man, that takes, to go back to our longevity conversation, that takes time too.
Mm-hmm.
That takes time for people not only to build trust with you, but for you to build trust with the people around you, to be vulnerable and invite them in. Because, I mean, we all have, you guys are in local church ministry now. We've all served in local church. It can be one of the most lonely, lonely places to be on the planet. But when you get to that isolated moment, man, it's so dangerous. When you move and hop and jump around and hit the eject button too early, and that's been your plan, you've never had enough time to have your own vulnerability with people for them to point out those things to you.
Yeah,
you've never taken that time.
Yeah, and it's really sad because in a real way, you've ripped them off and you rip yourself off.
Yeah.
You know, in that the tragedy is you end up going to a new place in the same condition that you left in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we can recover from that. Look, I've made mistakes in making moves in my life and in my own career. But you know, you learn from those, and then you decide, you know what? There's another way that next time I face this, I'm gonna do something different than what I did before.
Yeah. So I've been asked this question a lot, and I'm about to ask you the same question. I'm sure all of you have been asked this question too. So why not? I'll just add me to the list. How do you know when it's time to leave? Is a question I get all the time from people. Like, when am I? Like, how do I know? How do I know? And to use your language, how do I know if I'm hitting the button too early?
I think one of the very practical ways in my ministry of 18 years in student ministry that I've always tried to do a couple of things, very practical things. First and foremost is to just keep my head down. and to not be constantly looking around for opportunities to go and do something else.
Yeah.
I've always said that when you focus on what's next, you miss what's now. And I think for a lot of us, we keep our ears up too much.
Mm.
And learning to just be happy with what you have takes away a lot of opportunities to step out of God's will. And that comes back to humility and not being prideful, not being egotistical, not wanting to build your kingdom, but being more about his kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I think to answer your question maybe in a different way, I think it's just so important to appreciate what the Lord has given you and to pour your heart and soul into it. And if you do that, he has a way to open those doors for you. In my ministry, I don't know a lot of moments where I've got to a place where I said, I'm ready for something else. It's more that God has come to me in different ways and said, I've got something else for you. And there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, if I'm left to my own heart in this area of my ministry, I'll miss it every time.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with just listening and working hard. And when the Lord wants you to do something else, it's almost hard to describe. He moves you instead of you moving yourself.
Mm.
That sounds a lot like something pastor that Ben and I served with said for a long time. He would call his mentor, Dr. Sam Caffey, and he would ask him, hey, this church is calling. Do you think I should go? And he called him Papa Sam. And he said Papa Sam would always say, no. No, don't go.
So, no other questions.
Yeah.
Just no.
So, well, should I pray about it? Should I? No. Don't go.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, at a certain point, the size of the church was larger than the number of people in that town, and people were noticing, and they were calling and calling and calling, and he kept asking Papa Sam, and finally one day Papa Sam said, you know what? When it's time for you to go, you won't have to call me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true. So that kind of speaks to what you were saying. You know, if you will just dig in and do what you're supposed to do, when it's time for you to go, when it's the Lord calling,
sure,
it's going to be clearly
obvious. Absolutely. I mean, our calling is that's supernatural.
Right. Yeah.
It's a supernatural thing. How do you know you're called to ministry? Well, it's hard to explain. I just know that I am.
Yeah.
And so it's no different. If we participate in the supernatural, which we do as ministers of the gospel, I firmly believe that God has the capability to let us know in his own way, in his own time, when he has something else for us.
Yeah. And so kind of even asking the question means probably not.
Well, there's a growing sense of rightness that happens in my life whenever God is moving and making himself really clear. It's just the right thing, and that comes from within. That wells up within me. For me, the other question is, and I tell our staff this, you know, you need to ask the right questions. Am I running from something?
Mm.
Am I trying to escape something? Am I running to something? If somebody says, I'll pay you $40,000 more than you're making right now, you know what? There's nothing wrong with making $40,000 more than you're making now. That'd be awesome. But are you running to that? If you're running to that, that $40,000 will not make you happy. And matter of fact, you're going to regret making that decision. You know, you have to look at and ask the right questions when you're anticipating a move, because that move that you're making is impacting you, your family, and the church that you are leaving behind.
Yeah.
In a huge way.
Yeah, that's good.
So as we kind of covered the, you know, how do I know if I'm hitting the button too early? And I love the Sam Caffey story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
And I love that, you know, it is a supernatural thing. So anytime we're trying to chase after this, like we have this dichotomy of some things, it's okay to believe in the supernatural, that God can work in this and save a student's life and all these things. But then when it comes down to what's next for me, we kind of want to wrestle that away from the supernatural. And this, I think this whole what's next idea is a disease, and it begins to infiltrate every part of who we are. And you can't be dwelling on what's next. Like you said, Terry, you're going to miss the now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be dwelling on what's next and execute and fulfill the calling that God's placed on you for where you are currently. So let's go back to the original statement again in talking about making an impact versus making an impression. Let's just get super practical and say, all right, for everybody that's listening that's involved in student ministry right now, what are some ways, really practical, that they can begin to make an impact. Like, we know longevity plays a piece in that, but if I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to intentionally seek to make an impact, and I'm not just going to go with, man, this guy's a great communicator.
Yep.
What are...
I would say this, that when we ask ourselves that question, if anyone listening says, what do I need to do to make an impact? Our mind almost automatically goes to spaces, resources, how much money do I have at my disposal? I've always said this, and it comes from John chapter 9. It's the text where Jesus heals the man who is blind. Mm-hmm. Where he spits in the mud, applies the mud, and he's healed. I've always said in ministry, you need to learn to love the mud. In other words, mud is all you need. You know, mud is all you need. And if you will learn the art of taking the mud, what you have at your disposal, no matter what it is, if you have to do Wednesday nights in a gymnasium that was built 75 years ago, then take that mud and breathe your life into it and ask the Lord to bless it and make it the best it can possibly be. If you'll learn to love the mud, if you'll develop that kind of mindset, you know what? Everything around me is a resource. My volunteers, the people in my church, the community that I'm in, the space that I have. If you'll learn to love the mud and develop that creative capacity, that's what happens when you're forced to use mud to do ministry. There's creativity there.
Yeah.
In a ministry, it's so important to develop the art of taking mud and using it to heal people, to restore sight to them, to help them see Jesus. And I think a lot of people miss that. They say, I need this to do ministry.
Yeah.
Someday when I have that space, someday when I have these resources, then I'll make an impact. No, 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 no. You can make an impact now. You just have to realize all you need is mud.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. And you're not going to get there. Guys, none of us will get there if all we're doing is sitting around complaining, comparing, looking at what we have or don't have, thinking about what other people have or that they might have that we don't have. When we sit around and we're whining, complaining, we'll never get there. Never happen. But when you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I want to be the best I can be with God's help. I want to make a difference in people's lives, investing in people. Then all the other things starts to work. That stuff, that, you know, because people don't come to you and say when you've been gone for a few years, hey, man, you were great at planning events.
Hmm.
They're going to say, hey, thank you for the investment in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds like a good place to press this button. And end of this
well
episode.
Played.
Yeah,
well played.
Done.
I hope that I know personally this conversation has meant a great deal to me, and just the idea of making an impact versus making an impression. I hope that it has made an impact on you, that you will turn off this podcast today thinking about your own ministry, how long you've been where you are, how you can stay where you are, how you can, with God's energy and power and strength, continue to press on in the place where he's called you to right now, so that you can make an impact on those students and families instead of merely an impression. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.
See ya.